Good evening. It's good to see you. Good to be here tonight. If you're visiting with us, we're thankful that you came. Hope you can be with us the rest of the week. I can tell you that Monday night's lesson is going to be on hell. And let me recommend that you miss hell, but don't miss the meeting, or miss the lesson, really. But I want you to know that usually that lesson brings out more people because a great deal of people want to hear about hell. And I know it's not pleasant, but it's very important because it's a place you really want to miss. And I want my friends to miss that place, and I want my enemies to miss that place. It's that bad. So come back on Monday night, the Lord willing. Tonight we're going to talk about how shall the old secure their hearts. Maybe. I know. That picture is not very fair. When I started putting this kind of lesson together, and actually I need to stop just right there and make it very clear that Joe Price wrote this lesson. And I want to say that I give him the credit, and I love Joe. He's a very good fellow. No, Joe, I understand he's going to come and hold a meeting here in not too long time, and you'll enjoy Joe. Joe and I are very different, though, as speakers and as preachers, and so hopefully we complement each other. I know that we do, and we've been good friends. He is someone I can say that I've been to Lithuania with twice, and we have certainly knocked doors together and done Bible studies together, and so he's the kind of fellow that you can go teach the lost. So I give him that credit. But in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and I want you to turn there with me in your Bibles. And did you bring your Bible tonight? Remember, I asked you to bring your Bible. You're going to need your Bible because I want you to check me out. Find something's not right, bring it to my attention. I want to say what is the right thing. I don't want to take it out of context. I don't want to deceive anybody. I want them to read for themselves. I want them to understand for themselves. I want you to be thinking. Leviticus 19, verse 32 says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God, I am the Lord." And I know that's the Old Testament. I understand the Old Testament law, but we're not under it anymore because we're under the New Covenant. But I want you to understand that that is but the shadow of the things to come, not even the essence, as we read Hebrews 10 and verse 1. And I understand very clearly that I, as a younger person, notice how I slipped that in. Don't laugh. As a younger man, I love it, don't you? I have come to understand the respect I not should have, but must have for those who are older than I. It has just come to my attention as time has been passing just how much they know and how sad it is that when they leave us and depart, that we are, a great hole is left, both in the congregation, in our lives, our own parents. I know that my parents, their health is failing. My father's 78 years old. My mother's 75. And their health is failing. It's just what's happening. It is life. My health is failing. I'm 55 years old. I'm just spring chicken, right? But the thing is, though, is that I have, even in these 55 years, have seen the importance of this scripture and understanding this. Yes, this is a clip art that was picked by someone else. So, you know, I would have had different people myself. But because, I mean, when you talk about the older woman, you never can find one in the congregation because no one woman wants to think she's an older woman. I mean, am I right? I mean, what, she gets to be older when she's finally, what, 75, maybe 85? You know, and you get yourself in all kinds of trouble, things like this. But truthfully, how shall the old secure their hearts? We sing a song, I don't believe it's in the Red Book, how shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? But the truth is, how shall the old secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? When I preach on the subject of fornication, for instance, I don't just preach to young people, I preach to everybody. If I preach on immodest apparel, I preach to men and women both. I don't just preach just to women, I preach to men too. And I preach to older men and older women too. I preach to everybody because everybody is subject to sin. Everyone's subject to the devil coming after them. As you get older, you're supposed to know better. But you know, I've known better and still did things I shouldn't do. Maybe that's true of you. Maybe not. Maybe you're perfect. That's good. I'd like to meet you after services. I need to talk to you very seriously. I thought I made a mistake back in, what, 1935? I wasn't alive then. My dad used to say, I thought I made a mistake, but then I found I didn't make it. That's the only mistake I've ever made. I said, hey, Dad, right. Okay, gotcha. It's sad because we miss out on the beauty of the older people. because we don't take advantage of them when they're with us. And by advantage, I don't mean take their money. I'm talking about the fact that we don't listen to what they're saying. We have forgotten, or else we just have never known the importance of getting to know. I have an example I want to look at, or I want to talk about for a moment, and it is that Glenn and I, when we were 35 years old back in Austin, Texas, at the South Austin Congregation, actually South Linda Brody before it became the South Austin Congregation, we were the oldest people in the congregation. All the rest were below our age. And so we decided we were going to have a potluck, have everybody over, you know, and tell everybody, you know, bring something to the potluck. And so that night when everybody showed up, guess what we had when we put it all together on the table? We had, I think it's 5 bags of chips and 2 bags of ice and 4-liter bottles of Coke. Wasn't even a Diet Coke. I mean, my, you know, what's that about, you know? But the thing is that all, and you know what they started saying when they put it together? Well, where's the meat? Where's the meat? Where's the sandwiches? What's going on here? You know why they said that? And Glenn and I finally realized it wasn't because they thought we should supply that, although we gladly would have. And by the way, we did, because we kind of had a sneaky suspicion what was going to happen. But what dawned upon us all was, where was Mama? Where was Aunt? Where was Grandma? Where were the ones that did the cooking? Who were the ones that brought in the hospitality that they had? Where were the older people? They weren't there. And all of a sudden it was our turn. And that's hard to accept, that it's your turn. It's hard to accept that it's your time to step up to the plate and take the responsibility. But you can't imagine it. You can't imagine that they're not going to be there forever, and they're not going to be there forever. I promise you, I know that's so. And so we need to cherish them while they're with us. We need to remember who they are. They weren't always old. No, they weren't. There was a time when they were teenagers just like you. There was a time when they had feelings just like you have. There were times when they were angry with the world. And they wanted to change things. And they were bright and they were smart and they wanted to do things and they had plans. But then they found somebody that loved them and they got married. And they hopefully, Lord willing, stayed together, and they stayed together for many, many years. And they had children. They were blessed by, if they were blessed by God with children. And they had grandchildren. They had great-grandchildren. And before they know it, time just slipped away. They couldn't understand. Where did it all go? My wife and I have been married 32 years, and it seemed like yesterday. It just seems like time has just cheated me. No, it hadn't. Time just passes. When you're having a good time, it goes fast, doesn't it? Older people are a blessing beyond your imagination. I'm not here tonight just to defend them. I'm here to talk about an attitude of heart that all of us, especially as we grow older, that we need to think about these things. I know that there's another verse in Leviticus, here back in Leviticus 19, in verse 14, where it says, "You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord." When I was younger, I think more people will go to hell over driving than anything on earth. It just seems like you get behind the wheel and things just go wrong. You lose your temper. When you wouldn't lose your temper anywhere else, but on the roads, you just see sometimes some people become the Lord's Avenger. You ever met those people? They call it road rage. They're the Lord's Avenger. Somebody runs the light and they're going to say, "I'm going to make sure they don't get away with that." Scary. It's really scary. Well, I was held up, and I've got to just speed. You'll meet the officer, and then it'll all be his fault, of course, because. And see, these attitudes of mine say, "Yeah, but that's driving. That's different, is it?" What you do in life all the time as a Christian matters, doesn't it? It reflects you. It tells the world how much you really believe there's a God, how much you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and it comes down to home to these things about the older people. Would you really curse the deaf? Would you really trip the blind? Would anybody really do that? And the answer is yes, they would. They would cheat. They would lie. They would do wrong to people because they have no scruples. They have no respect for themselves or anyone. This world is filled with people like that. But neighbor, that's not you. And that's not me. And Christian friend, that's not you. We are to be the ones that honor those that are older. We're the ones that see them for who they are and what's important. We look to them to help us. How shall the old secure their hearts? Look at the psalm. The psalmist David in the 92nd psalm. Turn there with me. We're going to spend some time there. In the 92nd psalm. Look with me here at the 12th and 15th verses. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, it says. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The sad and the greatest, the saddest thing I've ever seen is an older person who is bitter. Okay? It's just the saddest thing you've ever seen. But the grandest thing you've ever seen is an older person that loves life and is not brought down by their age, but rather it's getting better for them as they grow older, as they see heaven coming, as they see the good things, and now they appreciate so much more. It's hard to preach this lesson because my heart goes out to people who do not understand the worth of older people. Because I'm going to tell you plainly, I used to be one of those people. Are you shocked? When I was younger, I really didn't understand what I had. I didn't get it. But I know that the Apostle Paul, he understood some things. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Read the 16 through 18 verses. We as Christians, we are strong, especially as we get older, we get stronger, and it's better. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 16th through 18th verses, this is one of those, I call them faith builders. There are scriptures in the New Testament which are absolutely faith builders. They build your faith up. You may not see it that way when you first read them, and as time goes on and you read these scriptures and start seeing the application of them, then it begins to become better and better. You understand. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 through 18, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Man, 30 years ago, I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go run 3 miles a day. That's not me today. But man, I used to do that. And I wasn't even winded. Man, I was low and hot. You know, I didn't look that good. Okay? You know, I'm not like my sons who are over 6 feet, you know, that kind of thing, you know, but. But you know what? Well, I thought I was, well, my wife loves me. But you know, the thing is, though, is that there was a time when I thought I had it all under control. You know, as life passes and you get older, you finally, Lord willing, you finally understand something. Just how little control you have over anything. You can have control over yourself, but that's about it. And you begin to realize how little control you have over anything. And you don't let things bother you that used to bother you before. Yeah, I wish I could run 3 miles. Well, you could run 3 miles. No, my knees say no. My knees have come to a point where it's hard just to get up sometimes, you know. But and I've just begun. I've just started with what's going on. The thing is, though, is that we don't see nor understand that as Christians, although the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We're getting stronger as Christians. Hopefully, the devil's not convincing us that life has passed us by. Saddest people I know. Well, things went wrong and life passed me by. Get up and do something, honey. What in the world are you saying? Yeah, but I have these children and I can't do it. What is that about? You know, if you have God on your side, who can be against you? Have you stopped to think for a minute who you serve? You are the servant of the Most High God. Don't you understand that these who are older have been faithful along the way, and now, or maybe they weren't faithful, then they came back to the Lord. How the strength of those people and what it means to us and what a vital part they are of the Lord's church. Do you realize there's churches of Christ that actually have children's church? And they have churches of Christ that have, and even in churches of Christ, can you believe this, that have a, well, no, that's not true. It's really Lutherans, actually, who have a, and if you're Lutheran and you don't like what I'm saying, come talk to me later. You can beat me up later if you want to. But the truth is that as you know as well as I do, if you're in a Lutheran church and some, and Presbyterian also, same way, and even in the Catholic church, you know that they now have a contemporary service and a traditional service. And you know what's happening. You know that all of a sudden that they've got to play to the young people. We got to play to the young people. But in the Lord's church, the older people are together as one with the young people. They all work together in the Lord's church. All of them. That's how God designed it. He didn't mean for them to be separated. He didn't mean for churches of Christ that I've seen today where they separate and all the older people go huddle in one place and all the young people have the young people. Man, if that guy would just die. No, that really say that. I'm sorry. We call it a righteous death. But you know what? Oh, how much better the church would be. But the church is no better than you are, my friend. It's no stronger than you are. How many times have I had Christians? Now I'm going to step on toes. How many times have I had Christians? He said, you haven't already? How many times have I had Christians say to me, Dennis, this church is just dead. Oh, did I hit a chord with you? Christians who say, well, this church is dead. And I said, well, aren't you part of this church? And they, well, yeah. I said, well, listen, what's the problem? Why don't you go, well, nobody seems going to get up and do this. We don't have a program and blah, 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 blah. And I said, listen up. What are you doing? Because last time I checked in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, beloved, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for the things that we've done in the body, whether good or evil. I'm not going to answer for you, and you're not going to answer for me. But honey, you're going to answer for yourself. And one day you're going to meet Jesus. And you're going to get to explain to Jesus, which you really aren't going to make any explanations, because you're already going to know when you get there. You couldn't be bothered with the old people. I couldn't be bothered with the Lord's church. I couldn't be bothered with this and be bothered with that. Too busy. Got too much to do. It's not right, brethren. And all this comes down to our attitude toward our lives and the attitude toward life and our attitude toward the older people. It speaks volumes about who we are. It really does. The righteous bear fruit. And they don't stop bearing fruit. On the other side of the coin for the older people, since when did you ever read in the Bible where you got to retire from the Lord? Excuse me? Where did you ever read that? Would you show me that verse? I've never seen that verse. And it's because it's not there. Don't you see? And a lot of you do who are in this audience who are older, you know what I'm talking about because you're here. Because you're still trying. Because you're still struggling. You're still pressing and the devil hasn't got you. And you're strong. God bless you. God bless you for that. Because we need you. Speaking as a younger person, though, I'm not that young. My children think I'm ancient of days. Old as dirt, you know, that's what they tell me. But you know what? I'm not that old. That's what we always think. And when you get to be 75, you say, well, I'm not that old because there's some 82-year-olds. And you get to 82, well, I'm not that old because there's some 95-year-olds. And I guess when you get to 95 or 100, you say, yeah, I guess I'm old. We live in a society that just worships youth. It worships youth, brethren. There is no... You're not going to see it on the comedy. You know, Leno is just not going to talk about the greatness of being old. Last time I checked. So I don't check his... I don't catch his program very often, but... You know, but I've never heard comedians talk about that. They don't see... They make a lot of fun of it, but they don't talk about the accomplishments of the glory of a couple that's been together for 60 years. Husband and wife who love each other. Brethren, you know, our attitude toward the old has everything in the world to do with what happens in the local church. The days of old age. Well, first is physical decline. Let's just go through it here. In Psalms, the 90th Psalm in the 10th verse, we read this. 90 verse 10. That the days of our lives are 70 years. That is 70, the old King James Version says. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And we fly away. You ever seen the song, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away? That's where it's coming from. Talking about the fact that one day I'm going to leave this old world. I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going home. I'm going to a place that's good. I'm going to a place to be with Jesus. But before I go, I got a couple things I need to get done. Okay? And that's the thing about our life in this world. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, you see that up there, so let's go on over there. Let's hasten on. My wife says I get to enjoying it too much and my time gets away from me. I guess that's right. But she's not here, so I'm safe. Not? You'll tell her, I know. I know it's recorded. In Ecclesiastes, we read as the preacher, and that's what Ecclesiastes means. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the last chapter. Look, if you will, and actually just read the first and eighth verse. I've got 1 and 2 separated out, but let's just get into context. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I have seen I've seen those in their 20s and their 30s who said, well, when I get past college and I get my degree and I get this done and I get my house paid for and I get this and I establish myself, then I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to serve the Lord in a way that no one's ever seen before. It's going to really be something. One day I'm going to serve the Lord. But you know what? The devil will never let you serve the Lord. Don't you see what's going on? It's a ruse, my brethren. A ruse that this world is not our home. Why are you singing that? Why are you singing this world is not our home if you act like it's your home? Oh, this is not your home. You don't even get to stay here. Did you know that? Oh, that's depressing, Dennis. Why do you say those depressing things? Oh, well, it's the truth. The sooner you understand it, the better off you're going to be. The better you're going to treat other people. The better they're going to treat you. You're going to have a smile on your face. Can you imagine a Christian with a smile? Mercy. Can you imagine it? Someone actually happy because they know the Lord, because they've been forgiven of all their sins, because they're trying to live right. Yeah, the devil's got some pretty nasty things for you. I understand that. But who cares? Bring it on. Stand up. We have this thing. I know my son said, you know, step up. Well, that's what I say to the devil. Step up. You know, I serve a God that's going to take you down, Satan. He is not going to make it. He's not going to have power over this one anyway. He might have power over other folk, but it's not going to be me, neighbor, not if I can help it. Now, I pray for you if I see he's trying to take you away, but I'm worried. Because if your attitude of life is that you've got to attain this certain wealth or this certain house or this certain car, that certain car, that certain car, if you've got to attain that certain job, that certain wife, that certain husband, you've got to do, you know, you need to trust the Lord. All of this has to do with trust the Lord. You either trust the Lord or you don't. Well, I'm going to take care of that. I'm smart enough. Oh, forget it. You know, before the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them, when you're bitter and burned up and burned out and nothing is left for God, because it's all about, I've been done wrong. I think the country western song is, I've been done wrong song. Yeah. I hear that a lot. Oh, not on the radio. From people. I love people. I really do. I wouldn't do what I do if I didn't love people. Isn't that right, Tom? We love people. That's why we talk. They say, yeah, you do a lot of talking, preacher. That's the truth. But you know what? I do love people. I listen to what they're saying, and it scares me when I hear it. Because their attitude about life is that I've been done wrong. I've been done wrong. Well, join the crowd who hasn't been done wrong. Who hasn't had things go wrong and things aren't happy like I thought they were going to be. And my marriage isn't what I thought it was going to be. And oh, what was me? Well, maybe it's not, but you know what? It takes two. You've got to work on your life, friend. You've got to work on your attitude. Oh, I know you didn't want to hear that one. You've got to work on your attitude about life and about older people. I'm getting back to the lesson, I know. He says, well, the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened. He says, and the clouds do not return after the rain. Because there's going to be a day when there's going to be bad things that are going to happen to you, and you're going to let them fill your heart. Listen, friend, in 1984, my wife and I, Glenda, we lost a child. That's right. And it's like the end of the world. But it wasn't. He lived 5.5 hours. He didn't make it. But you know what? It's with Jesus. So it's okay. It is interesting to me, though, that Glenda had a good question that she asked me. She kept asking this question, but she understands this. And it's not fair to put her on the spot, even though she's not here in the audience tonight. But she had a question. She said, why? Why can't I have my child? There's women who throw their children away. There's women who kill their children. What is wrong with this picture? I said, Glenda, it's not God's fault. We inherit the consequences of Adam's sin. And we just have to understand that sometimes things don't work out. But God does answer our prayers. And people forget to pray. That's why they get bitter. I know why they get bitter. They think, well, I just don't get it. Why should I remember my Creator in the days of my youth? Because the time is going to come when it's not all going to be cheery. You're not going to have all the bills paid. One of these days, you're going to have to start paying bills. One of these days, you're going to leave home. Yeah, boy, when I leave home, well, you know that story, don't you? I know how it's going to be at my house. Well, that's good. When you get to your house, you just have it however you want to. But while you're in my house, well, we're going to do it this way. Because I serve the Lord. So he says, well, that's not fair. Well, whosoever said life was fair? In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, that is, when the molars, he's describing the body. I never realized how much I'd fall apart when I hit 55. I thought 45 is pretty bad. I'm going to have to look over my glasses everywhere I went because I just refused to get bifocals. Now I got bifocals, so I'm good. Oh, let the cat. Supposed to have these contacts, right? So I'm young and dashing. No, not really. You know, the thing is that people don't quite get it, do they? They don't realize just how much they're so in tune with themselves and so in tune with what I like and who I like and who likes me. But the thing is that as you get older, guess what? You're going to change. If you live long enough, you're going to change. You're not going to stay the same. Guess what? And all it's going to be left is that pleasing personality that you've always been, not. And you know, the thing about that is that you've got to work on yourself now, neighbor. Not when you get down the road somewhere. That's what Solomon's talking about. He's speaking from personal experience. That's what he's talking about. And those that look through the windows grow dim, that is, they can't see. And when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, that is when they're trying to eat their food and they're gumming it now because they can't. They're just not there. Because poor Solomon didn't have dentures, so it didn't work out for him. But you know what the thing about it is, though, is that when rises up at the sound of a bird, that is because I already know that because I don't sleep through the night anymore. I used to think once we got the kids past 9 months or something, then I'd get to sleep through the night. It still hadn't happened, so. When the children, well, that's how it works, don't you know? Oh, you don't have a child? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to discourage you. You need to know that it's coming. You're going to change. One thing I'm certain in this life is of change. And you're going to change. But the question is, how will you change? Will you grow gracefully? Or will you maybe not grow very gracefully? Perhaps it won't be. Because after all, I'll be somebody else. I'm going to remain. I'm Superman. I'm never going to change. See, I'm indestructible. Wrong. That's just wrong. That's not how it's going to be, is it? So why despair, my friend? If it's going to happen and you see older people, you know it's going to happen. You know, understand who God is. Understand the spiritual side of your life. Don't just think that it's some kind of a, well, yeah, I go to church, okay, well, if not, okay, well, whatever, you know. And, you know, and the attitude that people have about the Lord's church or about the Bible or about Bible study. Oh, I know, I'm the preacher, I have to study the Bible, right? I mean, you know, it just comes down to this attitude that people have about the Lord. But this attitude, though, again, goes back to the respect of older people. There is a great deal. You could tell a lot about a person by the respect of animals. Did you know that? You can see the respect for animals. Their respect for waitresses in a restaurant. That's right. How they act when they lose a game. Or when they win a game. Have you ever noticed it? I don't have to paint too vivid a picture for you. You know what I'm talking about. Attitude. Your attitude. It says, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Why are they brought low? Because you can't hear them. You can't see them. Things are you're going out. Things are failing on you. Also, they're afraid of height. And of terrors in the way. And when the almond tree blossoms, I understand from some of the commentators, that's the idea of them turning white and hair begins to turn white. I'm blonde, so I get away with it for a long time. It's a cool thing, you know. Oh, you say you saw some gray? Hush up. I'll go ahead and dye it and it'll all go away. And I'll be young another, 10 years? You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking at 55, maybe I have another... Well, wait a minute. 20 years. Yay! 20 years! Wait a minute. I'm 65. I just got 10. Oh, no, maybe 15 at most, you know. And the younger people are thinking, well, don't bother me with that. I got things to do. Hey, what time is it anyway? We've got to get off. Life is passing quickly. And these older people that you don't look at or think about or talk to, you go and make a point to talk with them. You go to a point, and I'm not talking about your mother right now. I'm talking about 55 or 55, 65, no. I mean, everybody, talk with people, talk with each other. They have something to offer. They have something good. They're Christian. That should be enough to convince you that something good there, something worth your while. You know, an older woman said to me one time, she said, Dennis, I don't teach the younger room because they just won't listen. I said, you're right, sister, you're right, because they can't listen to that which is never said. Well, yeah, but you know, I said, thousands feel like a busybody. I said, well, yes, you could be like a busybody, but sometimes those young ladies, they need you to talk with them. They need you. A preacher can't get it preached. He can't say it. There's times when mamas can't say it either. Sometimes it's older women in the church who can speak to a younger woman. And yes, you run the risk of them hating your guts and saying, who are you, meddlesome old? You know, and the kind of attitude that sometimes young people have. Not all young women are that way. Not all young men are that way. Hephaim people here, I know that's true. But you see, the thing is, though, is that what he's saying is, he says the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. Oh, yes, it does. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. And then he says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosened or the gold bowl is broken. And, or, you know, and the idea in the East, in the Eastern countries was a long silver cords that had a bowl in them that held the incense, not the incense, I'm sorry, but the oil for a lamp. And what he's talking about is that as it loosens, the bowl sometimes falls out and breaks and shatters. Now, what's he talking about? Well, it appears he's talking about our lives as we begin to fall apart physically. All of a sudden, what we used to do, we can't do anymore. Used to go lay under that car, you know, and I changed out those ball joints, and I could work on that front end, and I could do. And now I can barely get into the car, and I can barely breathe when I'm under it. And so my son says, "Here, Dad, we'll take care of that." And they're so bothered by it. I know, I understand that. But you know, sometimes I let them do it, even though I'm human. You know, I thought I could do that. You know, I'm doing because it's passing away. It's changing. And young men and young women, you're going to change too. You're not Superman. Not Superwoman. You're not the bionic woman. You know, yeah, but one day they're going to make things better. I don't care what they do with science. You're still going to get older if you live. Thought it'd be good to write a book sometime. What if I lived? What happens then? What if I lived? The thing is that as he says, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the wheel, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. You do know that Solomon didn't mean that life is vain. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this too shall pass. This too shall pass. I see the younger people, and I was sitting there. Oh, not in this building. But I was sitting there at one time. That was, seems like an age ago. You know, I don't, it's just amazing to me. I'm in a time warp. I go to visit a congregation I've been at before, and a young lady walks up and says, "Oh, hi," and I call her, and she says, no, that's my mother. And all of a sudden I go, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, and then I see her mother, and I go, well, I try not to be too rude. Because I don't look so good either, you know, so there it is. But the thing is, though, is that we need to think about these kinds of things because there's spiritual applications to all of this that make the difference. There are days of solitude. Are you ready for this? I know that when I was a younger man, there was an older man in the congregation in Castleberry in Fort Worth. And this brother in Christ was 84 years old. And he one time, and I was running really fast through, and I think he stopped me and said, "Son, you need to stop running through here. There's older people here." And of course, I said, "Yeah, right, okay." But you know, I did stop and talk with him, and he befriended me, and he talked with me, and he said, "You know, the thing that bothers me," and he called me Dennis, and he said, "The thing that bothers me is that all my friends are gone." I said, "Well, you have friends in the congregation." He said, "You don't understand, son." He said, "All that I grew up with, all that I knew, are no more. I've gone to some of my high school reunions." Oh, mercy. Now that is punishment. Oh, no, I look pretty good, actually. I mean, oh, here comes the comment. You ready? Because a lot of them have lost their hair. And of course, I'm still good. Sorry, LB. You can beat me up later. Couldn't let it go, brother. I tried, but temptation overwhelmed me. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?' So I may be isolated because I preach the truth, because I tell people what the Bible says, and they don't like me for it. Well, that's too bad, because I love the Lord. And yes, I may be left totally alone, and my family may not talk to me anymore. That's right. There may be some bad things happen, but you know what? If God is with me, who can be against me?" You've got to think about the Lord and His Word. And understand that the best thing you can say to someone is the truth they need to hear, even if they don't like you for it. You know, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Don't you understand this? That the love of Christ is the love that if I love you, I'll tell you the truth. That's what older people do. They tell you the truth that no one will tell you. My mother tell me things, I didn't want to hear it. I said, "Okay, right, you know, talk to the hand." No, I didn't say that then. That was a long time ago. But you know, and all those terminology all pass away too. I understand that. vernacular changes. But you know, there's going to be days, solemn and emotional days as you get older. You seem to cry easier. I've noticed that. Things touch your heart that didn't touch you before. Things you didn't bother you, but now they do. And you're mad at yourself. So why should I be bothered with that? Who cares about that? Nobody else seems to care about it. But things that didn't, all of a sudden, they mean something to you. All of a sudden, one day you get up early in the morning and you see a sunrise. And you know what? You say, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Have you got to that point yet? Have you got to the point where you see a sun setting? And all of a sudden you say, look at that. Have you stood on the edge of the ocean and say, oh, ocean, okay, let's go. Have you stopped to think? And I have stopped to think about it. As you look, I know when I was in Oregon once on the Pacific coast there in Oregon, I looked out and I saw the ocean and I thought of the size and I said, mercy. As far as I could see, go that direction for 10,000 miles to the shores of Japan and it's nothing but water. And you can drown in 4 inches of water. So, I mean, how insignificant are you? But yet you're important as a Christian. You're important to the Lord. Every person is important. Older people are most important. My grandmother once said to me, she said, Dennis, at the age of 84, 85, she said, Dennis, why? I think I was 15. She said, Dennis, why am I still here? I don't understand why the Lord keeps me alive. I don't get it. Why am I still here? I can hardly hear. I'm sick all the time. I don't feel good. Why am I here? And I'm 15 and I thought to myself about it. I said, Grandma, you're here for me. You're here for me. That's a relationship we need to have with older people. With older people in the church and older people around us. We need to have that attitude. We need to culture that. We need to grow that. To have a respect and an appreciation. You know, you have to work at having an appreciation in some things, don't you? But this is one you really need to work on. Because you will be paid back so many times the things. I told Grandma, you have told me things about the church that I could never know. And I won't know them for years. If I preached for 50 years, I wouldn't know some of the things that you told me. Do you know that all the things she said, and she's been dead a very long time, brethren. But you know how many things that she has helped me with in the Lord's work? Oh, I can't tell you. I can't tell you what it means. I can't even impart it to you how important it is. It's so important. You know, in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, the 29th verse, it says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Their gray head. That's right. That is the glory. That's the glory of it. I know that also the 31st verse of the 16th chapter of Proverbs says, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness, and that's the way it is. Let me move on. How shall the old secure their hearts? Pray for God's help. In Luke, the 18th chapter, I know I've done a lot of talking about relatives and different people, and I've used examples and those kinds of things, but I don't apologize for that because I think that's important. I think that it's important sometimes, I don't know about letting down your hair or getting laid back, but I think it's important for younger people and those who are not Christians and those who are Christians to understand that we're willing to examine our lives. We're willing to look at ourselves. We're not without sin and we make mistakes as Christians, but we are forgiven. And we can do better, and we know that's true, and we can grow, and we can be the best for each other. And for God, of course. But in Luke, the 18th chapter, the first 8 verses, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, now hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? When he comes back, will there be anybody left? I hope there will be. That's my hope. How shall the old secure their heart? Trust the Lord. What does it mean to trust the Lord? Well, if there's plenty of money in the bank, you know, things are going good, stock market looks pretty good, you know. Oh, no, it doesn't, but even if it does, well, we've got plenty of money in the bank, everything's secure. That's not your life. Even when a man has an abundance, his life does not consist of his possessions. Jesus made that very clear. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You've read those verses before. You've heard that in sermon after sermon after sermon. Let's make an application to the thing. Trust the Lord. My brother-in-law, who passed away, he said, there's nothing more. He came over in his riding lawnmower. He came over. He said, Dennis, and he was crying. He said, the doctor told me there's nothing more they can do. There is no hope. I'm going to die. And I said, congratulations, Wesley, so am I. Y'all, but you don't have a key. I said, you're right, I don't. But, who knows? I'm not promised tomorrow. I said, I have an attitude that I'm going to live every day. And all the time I have, I'm going to live it like it was the last. I'm going to live it. And you know, I'm not going to let a doctor tell me when I'm dying because they don't know a blessed thing. Many times. Oh, they do know some. I didn't say no anything. But I serve God. And I pray for people. I don't care what the doctors say. And I've seen things change because God answers prayer. No, I'm not charismatic. But I'll guarantee you that I'm not going to let them take away the power of prayer from me. Because I believe God answers prayer. And I believe in the providence of God. So you string me up if you want to, to the nearest telephone pole or whatever. But I believe God answers prayer. I've seen it too many times. I know it's so. There is a God. And He is real. And it's important. It matters. You know, the thing is that on the ninth Psalm, in the ninth and tenth verses, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know Your name will put their trust in You. For You, Lord, have forsaken those who... Rather, You have not forsaken those who seek You. He has never forsaken me. No matter how bad it looked, no matter how great the odds or whatever happened, God has never forsaken me. I've forsaken Him before. I'm sad to say that I've done things that were not right in my life. But I repented. I was given time. I changed. You know, I get so upset sometimes with brethren because they quote to people, they say, well, you know, you raise up a child and the way they should go. And even when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And I said, yeah, and that's a proverb too. Because I've seen children that did depart who were raised upright. But you know what? They came back later. They were restored. I don't give up on people very easily. I'm kind of like that. I kind of go find them. You know what I mean? That's right. Because if I'm your friend, I'm going to come find you. Will you come find me? Older people are like that. They're the ones that go out looking for folks. They're the first ones to see who's missing services. They're the first ones to see what's going on. You know who else knows what the church is really about? The children. Just ask them. Let them tell you what the congregation is really about. If you have enough guts. Oh, I'm sorry. Intestinal fortitude. You know, if you've got enough guts, ask the children. The children will tell you. They see things as they are. Not as you wish they were. Not as we, as adults, amass them to be. But the way they really are. And it's painful. Most painful things in my life with my children is when I saw myself in them and saw that it really wasn't their fault. It was me. It was me. Bless their heart. I spanked them anyway, though. Yeah. I said, you're not going to be like that. Oh, yeah. Do as I do, don't do as I say. I hear that. Yeah, sure. You know, these are the things, though, the trust that we build. And time is about gone here. Live by faith when mistreated, okay? Think about that for a minute. You get older, it seems like there's just more and more persecution. It seems like things just get uglier and uglier. The 71st Psalm, rather. In the 71st Psalm, and let's just get to it here, as I'm just about gone. In the 71st Psalm, here's what we read. It says in the fourth verse, it says, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. In the 9th and 13th verse, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. That's what they say. Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. So many times, we just don't realize. you know, how close God really is. We think that we're the only ones suffering. God will protect, comfort, and save you. Do you understand that? In the 71st Psalm, in the 19th through 21st verses, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have shown me great and severe troubles, shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and cover me on every side. You are with me, Lord. 23rd verse, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. You ever notice that as you get older, how much more you want to hear singing, how much you want to sing, how much and how good it is and how uplifting it is to hear the old songs that you heard growing up and the old songs that you know, and somebody wants some new songs. I'm not opposed to new songs, okay? As long as it's scriptural, of course. But the thing, you notice I said of course. But the thing is, though, is that there is a comfort, isn't there? Be with me, Lord, is a comforting song. We sing it at funerals many times. That's a good way to ruin a good song, isn't it? Sing it at a funeral. Then every time you hear it, it always makes you sad. You know? But the thing is, though, it shouldn't make you sad. If one's a Christian and they leave this world and they're right, then what is there to be sad about? Other than I certainly miss them. There's nothing wrong with that. But there was Jesus. Things are right. It's okay. It's going to be okay. I tell you, I know that's true. Well, I've used up my time. I hope well. I will say this in closing, because I know there's some that have other things to do and get to and this kind of thing, that the old shall secure their hearts by prayer. They shall secure their hearts, although no matter what it may look like, and I want to speak to this before closing, they speak to the fact that the church is not the way they remember it to be. Do you know that I'm 55 years old and I already see the church is not the way I remember it used to be? In some ways, that's good. But in some ways, that's bad. In some ways, we join with the older ones. We grow older. We join with the older ones at the dedication of the second temple, who cried as loud as they were rejoicing because they remembered the former glory. The former glory of the church and how it was. My grandfather saw a church that was just one Church of Christ. There was no liberal, there was no conservative, there was no non-institutional, there was no, it just was one. Everywhere you went, they all were Christians and there was no division at all. And then he saw the church be splintered into 1,000 pieces. And it made my grandfather bitter. He was a preacher and he let it bitter. That's something preachers have to guard against. Elders have to guard against that. As we see these things day in and day out, we have to guard ourselves against being bitter about these things. But my great-grandfather, he didn't know anything but a divided church. Because you see, he lived in the 1800s, died in 1916, and the church he knew had been split by what was called the Disciples of Christ. He saw in his time a 95% of all Christians go into apostasy. He went and he rode and he preached the gospel in places where there were no churches. And the people rose up and obeyed the gospel, and there were new churches where he started. Brethren, by the time that you begin having this attitude about the church, well, all is lost, all is gone, forget that. Go teach the lost. Go teach the lost. As you get older, don't lose the sight of the glory of the Lord. Don't lose the sight of the glory of His Word. Don't lose sight of the good things. And younger people, you need to listen to older people. You need to become acquainted with them and really listen to them. And really ask them questions. And don't avoid them. They're wonderful. They really are. And you say, what's that got to do with the gospel? A great deal. Because as Christians, we enjoy the rite of prayer. We have the blessings that are in Christ Jesus. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have a hope of everlasting life. We know we're going to be resurrected. Let them do what they want to us. You know what? Well, I don't like to suffer, no. But you know what? I have the hope of eternal life. How about you? If you're not a Christian, it's because you haven't chosen to. I understand that. I know a lot of people who know what to do to be saved. They understand what they need to do. They know they need to be baptized for the remission of their sins. But the thing is, they don't choose to do it. And that's their choice. I don't agree with their choice. I wish they wouldn't choose that. Life is fleeting. They may not get to be 70 or 80 years old. They may die when they're 15. They may die when they're 20. They may die when they're 30. Mightn't they? Read the obituary. Look at it. My friend, if you're not a Christian, you're missing the greatest thing there is in this world. It's the best. It's the very best, a Christian life. There is nothing better in this world. You know the best people there is on earth. They are the light, the bright and shining light that is around you. They're good. Don't you see that? And the older ones who've lived right, who've been faithful to God, oh, God bless them. What a wonderful thing they are. How wonderful it is the attitude that they have, those that are faithful to God. This night, if you need to obey the gospel, we invite you to do so. If you need our prayers, we invite you certainly to come and we'll pray with you and for you. But if you need to be baptized, let us talk about this. Let us get right tonight before it's too late. Obey the gospel, friend. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?